your job as a footman. Who was Mr. Shepherd? What did he work
at? He was the butler. The major dome was the butler there. And very efficiently taught me how to clean the silver, gold, how to look after, you know, precious articles, porcelain and stuff which they had. But I will tell you, one day I slipped and I hit a wall on a polished floor, and I hit a wall in the dining room, and there was a Ming Dynasty dish somewhere around 18 inches to 2 feet across, maybe at least there, and it fell off the wall. It vibrated and it fell onto the floor, and it broke into 2 or 3 large pieces, and I don't know how many hundred small pieces. We weren't allowed to touch it, and Christie's came from London. They took everything away, and that returned, I don't know, about 6 months, you know, riveted and glued and whatnot, and I suppose it's still there, but that was a memory of one of the silly things that happened. I do remember once, I can tell you something, as a footman, your duties included not only cleaning and setting the meals, but also handing them out, or sort of each course, you would go round to each person, say, would you like this, that, whatever it was, an entree, or whatever it was, or the soups, you did it. Now, all food went to the left-hand side of the person, all drinks to the right-hand side. So, I remember that one day, I had this silver salver with a gravy boat on, and always a napkin over your elbow like this, and you would go and gravy, madame, milady, whatever. And in this instance, somebody came in, but there were high coronet chairs in the dining room, I imagine they're still there. And as I went in, like this person came in behind, pushed in one of the younger people at the dinner party, and hit my elbow, and the gravy boat shot like that and went right down to the front of this dear person's blouse or dress. And I can remember, "Oh, Frank Darling," she said, and they all used to call me Frank Darling, God knows why, but anyway, I can remember getting a napkin and having to wipe her chest with to get this hot, almost scalding gravy for the poor woman. But also the same person, and at lunchtime, you remember, that I was going in and I had a dish of potatoes. It was a lunchtime. And this girl came in exactly the same, and it knocked, and I can remember the potatoes sliding and the dish going right along the dining room table and knocking glasses everything everywhere. What a shambles. But these were a couple of silly little incidents that happened in, you know, in those footman days. But they were great days because I can think of Mrs. Gulliver, the cook, wonderful woman. And incredible, because the meals that came out, and we would collect them from a hatch, you know, in the kitchen, and take them in. And Fred Shepherd and I would, you know, you would prepare them and hand them around. But I mean, we lived well, we lived awfully well, really. It was a great life for 2 years, and it was peace for our parents, well, for my parents, that I at least was working and earning, and I wasn't an encumbrance. And Fred Shepherd and I became great friends, and we used to take, when I got used to it, we took every other day, as long as there weren't big parties, we could do every other afternoon off, because he had a family around the corner, and it was great. But he and I went fishing, and he had a little boat up there. I can remember when the people were away, we would come out and do night fishing off Seagull Island. We'd come chugging down the river and stay all night fishing, you know, in his little boat. And I can remember one day we had the chauffeur and him and I, and the motor wouldn't start when we came to go home. And I can remember rowing the thing all the way up the river. I thought, you know, they didn't want to row. Well, they couldn't row well. I was brought up rowing, so I can remember doing that. Thinking, God, and he started the engine just as we were in sight of Beauty Green. Oh dear, what a relief. But, you know, I mean, I grow up the river, I do all sorts of things. But as a youngster, you know, I thought, what do I do this for? That was life, but wonderful life, really.
And how many staff were there?
Well, I wouldn't like to say how many, but I would have said there was 10 to a dozen people. There were the, you know, housemaids, the kitchen maids, and the, you know, the cook, Mrs. Gunner. But then there were two ladies' maids, there were Fred and I. Oh gosh, yeah, a dozen, maybe more.
What was the name What was the name of the chauffeur?
Oh, Wallace, that's right. And Wadley was the electrician, because they had their own substation there, really then, their own little electricity station. But, yeah, that's right, Wallace, yeah, right. But there were also elements of the family. I told one of them the other day that I would go out with them in the car, and one in particular, Mrs. Kennedy, she was a stage star at one particular time, but I remember going with her in the car in the roller, and she would perhaps have a couple of glasses or something, or she had a form of sleeping sickness, and I used to prick her with a pin to keep her awake sometimes. But she said, don't get me wrong, she was a nuts person, but she said, oh, Frank, can you drive this thing, you know, and there's me sat up in the roller, you know, or whatever, driving this thing around without the chauffeur, you know, with Helen Kennedy. I told her sister's here the other day, Elizabeth, Mrs. Kennedy's dead. Sister was here talking to one of her neighbours, and I explained this to her. Oh, fun and games. I mean, the whole atmosphere was quite nice, I must admit that. But Fred is still a friend. He went away after the war, became the major domo in the British Embassy in Washington, but he's well returned now. But he's quite a remarkable person still to this day. And I must admit, those 2 years, I suppose it taught me one thing. Had handled life, because it was like a large family, and these girls, because I could dance, I could think of all their names now, Renee, Dorothy, you know, it goes on and on, but they were lovely girls, and they were all older than I was. I think they used to try and manipulate me a bit, but it was nice, really, they were nice. And I can think of them all now, lots of them dead, sadly, but truly it was a great life, because we, when we weren't busy, we'd have fun and go off to parties and dances, we'd dance. And really, my brothers and friends would want to come along when they found out, well, he's having a great time. And if there was, I had a farm friend whose dad had a big 16-horse Austin. And I used to go with him on days off, but he would lend me the car any time, and we'd all go off in a gang and go to these parties. But it was a great life, really good life.
So how much time did the other staff have? How much time off?
Oh, the same as off. They were good. It was all work between each of them that you had. So much time off. You always had time off in the afternoons, although you would all get up reasonably early. But on the days that the people were away, we would go early mornings, I'd take them down the river swimming, you know, whatever. We all did it as a group and had lots and lots of fun, really.
When you say you got up reasonably early, what?
6 o'clock. And if the tide was high, because you can't swim there at low tide, it's just mud. But really, we had lots and lots of fun. Yeah.
So would the family they'd be away some of the time?
Yeah, but not all the time. There were times you could divide up your time. You worked for so long, you did breakfast, then there was a period we'd go up to the mail or do things. And then it would come to the afternoon. We always tried in the afternoons, after lunch, that Fred would go off. And, well, I would say to him at lunchtime, it wasn't busy, I'm okay. And then he would say the next day, well, get on your bike, go on home, or whatever you want to do, and be back for dinner at night, you see. And the girls would be the same. They'd have their time. Oh, no, it wasn't. It was all good fun. But to many of the girls, some were Wiltshire girls, some were elsewhere, some were local, but they all had a great life, really. I will say that no one could have complained about their life there because they were well fed. And not that, in those days, many people worked for, you know, whoever the local societies were because there wasn't any other work. The refinery here was for males, for men. You know, that's why I went there at 18. But otherwise, it wasn't work. There was farm work or domestic services, and frankly, that was a really a great start to a teenage for me because of the ladies there. Really, well, they were really lovely when I think about it. But we had such hilarious times that. But you understand, there were lots of little subterfuges as well, or little bits of. Jokes would be played on each other. Oh gosh, yes. And they were always that side. But that mustn't interfere with the work, you see. Oh, no. But I will say that those 2 years, I can tell you stories that there were the ladies who, the girls I knew who would want to cuddle, they would be depressed, or not depressed, but they would feel emotional or something. So there was quite a little bit of romance attached to some of the affairs. It was nice that would help get me. But there were lots of fun, but I often goes through my mind now, the fun. I can remember one night, I would like you to understand that I was much younger than all the other girls, and sometimes they would come and check that I was up, or in the evening they would come down and say, oh, they've heard a noise, because if Fred lived round the corner, you see, and I was the only male in the house, and it would be, and I can remember, vividly one night. I mean, they would come down and perhaps sit with me sometimes for an hour you know. And one night, I had my arms around a young lady, and I thought, you know, I said, well, come off him, what was wrong? And I thought perhaps she was ill or something, you see. And a voice said, Frank, darling, the house is on fire, and it was Pearl, which I think she was still Lady Montague, I can't remember now. But the house was on fire, and they had a dash and get... But these are the things that happen in your life. And I thought, gosh, you know, but...
Do you know how the fire had started?
Well, it was in the dining room. No, it wasn't. It was in the drawing room, sorry. And where wood had been left at night, it had flamed up, and it had... Well, there was a huge wooden mantel and surround, and I think it just caught that alight. The heat somehow, and a breeze, I suppose, had generated, and it caught alight. And of course, being so much wood, it had ignited, it had gone up through to the next story, or was it heading that way? But anyway, we got it under control, and everyone was